All right, let's see here. Everything's good to go on my end. Actually, Isaac, I need you to say 10 words.
10 words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Something's up with that.
He got them in the right order. It's fine, Gil.
He's showing off that fancy education.
Now, come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up, y'all.
N-E-R-D up. N-E-R-D up.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Nerd up.
And welcome again to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. This happens to be the 99th episode. The 99th episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. That's just amazing. I'm Guilty Wilson along with...
Tim Mattson.
Isaac Wilson.
Billy Cooper.
That's right, Billy Cooper with the Indiana Toy and Comic Expo. He's going to be here talking about everything we can talk about when it comes to toys and comics because he's got an expo. You know, hey, you know, well, why not? But actually, if you remember last year about this time, we talked to Billy about this event, talked to him before, and we even talked to him during, and then we aired a lot of the stuff after. It was a fun event last year. Now, how many years is this going on?
This is number 4.
Oh, wow. And you're still putting up with it?
For now. Yeah.
Last year, first time I'd gone, so I guess that was the 3rd year. It was just a really cool event in little bitty, okay, it's not really little bitty, but Bloomington, Indiana. Not Indianapolis, yep. Not at the big convention center, but a fun family event. Free parking is only $5 to get in, and wow, it was just a great event. I mean, I met some great artists. In fact, I met a new favorite artist of mine, Matt Skillern, there. And let's see, I'm trying to think of all sorts of Toys Deluxe. Oh my gosh, I just went crazy just staring. In fact, Isaac saw a few that he liked, but he's the one that had to drag me out of the place. So, but anyway, so Billy, what's going on this year with the Toy and Comic Expo?
Oh man, where to start? we sold out. All our vendor tables, all our artist tables, everything. It's completely sold out 3 months in advance this year.
Wow.
First time we've ever done that. So the response has been really, really awesome. We're doing some expansion. We're adding some new things. We converted the downstairs into a family fun area that's sponsored by Game Preserve, which is a local Indiana chain of like board game and card game stores. So we got a family area. We were adding panels in addition to the contest.
Nice.
So
we haven't
announced those yet, but we got some stuff up our sleeve with that. We're still trying to finalize the guest list, actually. I'm kind of holding out for a couple of special guests. So
okay.
Just what
that sounds like a big tease, you know. I'm wanting inside information, and
it's more along the lines of, are these guys even going to be in the United States? That's all I can say.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That ought to be interesting.
Guest list as far as artists, Stuart Sager's back, Brian Michael Barker, Brian Bowler with Aerosol, Ron Brown is back. He's actually didn't do ITC last year, but he's coming back. He wants to try Bloomington. Gavin Smith, you guys know him.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Keith Phillips. Let's see. Matt Skillern, of course.
Well, actually, you can't. I don't think you can have Jason without Matt anymore. They kind of team up for all the cons anymore.
It's got this weird symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
It's kind of unnerving from an outsider looking in. But, you know, whatever. Yeah, we got a nice artist alley. We brought in some new blood, and then we brought in some old favorites. It's pretty awesome. Vendors, Fuzzy Fish is back. My buddies at the Toy Pit from up in Noblesville, they are actually one of the sponsors of the custom action figure contest this year. We listened to everybody. We had a lot of people ask, hey, we want more comics. We brought in more comic vendors. We probably doubled the amount of comic vendors we had. We got some great toy dealers coming back in. Secret Headquarters down in Evansville. They're going to be up as a vendor. Hive of Villainy out of Ohio. Roma Collectibles. Hotspot Collectibles. And we got some... We're trying something new. We're bringing in some guys that make their own toys. This is going to be kind of cool. We're hoping that takes off.
What kind of toys do they make?
They make more like your single cast, like resin.
Okay.
Your plastic resin pieces. More designer. Kind of the, think like, I hate to say, I hate to say Funko, but that's like the brand that everyone knows.
Right,
you know
okay,
what I mean?
Yeah.
They make like, you know, single cast resin original sculpts based on like their own artwork. So pretty happy about that. Got the 501st back, got the Rebel Legion back, got the Indiana Ghostbusters, Jasper District, Indiana Cosplay Association will be set up. Pixel Dan's back.
Oh, nice. I liked him. He was fun to talk to last year.
Yeah, Dan's awesome. He's one of the judges for our contest, the custom figure contest. Another couple that are YouTubers, if you guys look these guys up, they're pretty awesome too. They do a lot of really cool content. Nerd Therapy. They do a lot of unboxing videos.
Oh, okay.
They're really big into the vinyl pop and that ilk, that genre of figures and stuff, and they do a lot of reviews and stuff. One of our special artist guests is Kyle Starks. I don't know if you guys are familiar with his work or not. He did a book recently. I know he's writing the Rick and Morty comic.
Oh, nice.
Okay. You got my attention there.
And I think he, and I believe he wrote some of the Invader Zim comics of late. Also, he had a graphic novel called Sex Castle through Image. Is this, and this will get your attention. It was bought, the rights for the movie were bought by the Russo brothers Winter Soldier, Civil War fame.
Yeah, yeah.
And Workaholics, the guys that do the Workaholics show are involved with that as well. So meet him now before he's uber famous and won't do our show.
Yeah, really. Sex Castle, that's the one. It was for Image Comics. That was the one that it got bought.
It was a graphic. Okay. Yeah, it was a graphic novel.
Okay, I'm going to look that up first anyway, but you got me with the title there. That was interesting.
It's a love letter to, like, 80s action movies.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, cool. Last year you had Rasta Pops. You had all sorts of great food vendors and stuff there. Anything on this year yet?
Yes, yeah. Great White Smoke, the awesome barbecue place, are coming back.
Nice, that was good, yeah.
They're really good.
Yeah.
It didn't help that they opened up their smokers at like 9 o'clock in the morning. We have a coffee truck that's going to be there this year. So they're going to be selling like frappuccinos, cappuccinos, iced coffee, chai tea, all that good stuff. And then we're also going to have a snowball truck?
Like the snow cone stuff?
Yeah, cones. There you go. So, yeah, we're going to have good food vendors back again. No crappy $8 hot dogs or anything like that. Yeah.
That's one thing that always got me was when these food vendors, those cons that have the food vendors, like the food trucks out front, they'll have like, the taco in a bag. It's like a 50-cent bag of Doritos with a bunch of crap thrown in it. I'm like, ew.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, okay, fine for once, but, no, I need a food.
Yeah, I want food. Don't slop me like a pig. Give me a sandwich.
And from last year, if I remember right, that barbecue was just delicious. It was awesome. I don't know. It was not your typical barbecue. It wasn't moving here from Kansas City, I hated Kansas City barbecue because it's way too sweet. And this guy's barbecue was not sweet at all. And I'm like, oh, this is good.
Yeah, it was. He sold out of stuff last year.
I believe it.
I remember first time going outside, actually got the breakaway and looked outside. And was like, wow, there's a line of people. Are they? Oh, it's not a line to get in. It's a line. It's a food truck. There's 30 people in line in the parking lot wanting barbecue nachos. So, yeah, it was pretty awesome. I see. What else we're doing this year? We got the costume contest are back. Let's see what else. The custom figure contest is back, of course.
Now, did something special with the fundraiser. That's what I wanted to get on real quick here. The Reggie.
Oh, interesting story. I'm a toy nerd. And
really?
Yeah, a little bit. And what we did was we took a piece of artwork that Jason Keith Phillips did for us on our second year poster.
Right.
And it's a version of my dog basically dressed Superman-like.
Right.
And he's got a big grin on his face. It's a really nice little comical version of my dog Reggie, named after Reggie Miller. Not like anybody else, because I'm in Indiana and I'm a Pacers fan.
Okay.
So, had a buddy of mine, Sam. Sam with Sturgeon Studios. He does sculpt work and everything, and he took this artwork and made it into a 3D figure. Well, we wanted to do like almost like a vinyl pop with it. We're going to cast them. We're going to make them. We're going to paint them. But we got to the point where, like, man, this is a lot of work, and I ain't got time for this. So what we did was is we got a bunch of the blanks, had Sam clean them up, take the flashing off of them, all the stuff, get them ready to go. And we contacted all the artists and all the vendors for the show. It's like, look, we've got these figures. Would you guys be interested in decorating them? Have fun. Don't have to do him in his Superman looking colors. Mm-hmm. Have fun. And the response was huge. We've got 20 plus figures out there right now being worked on.
Wow.
What we're going to do is a friend of mine, one of the vendors, Hotspot Collectibles, is donating these little plastic boxes that you put vinyl pops in.
Right.
Got the little protective casing. And we're going to put Reggie's all through Artist Alley. Right. If you were at the show last year, we had the coffee or the cocktail tables spread out through Artist Alley where people can stop and relax. We're going to put those Reggies all through the middle of Artist Alley. And what we're going to do is toward the end of the show, I'm thinking in the last hour, we're going to have a live auction. No silent auction. We're going to get all of them in a room.
Oh, wow.
We're going to get everybody who wants to bid in the room, and we're going to throw down.
Now, the artists and vendors, you say, are the ones that painted these?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
So, like Gavin Smith and Matt Skillern?
Matt Skillern's got one.
Okay.
Gavin didn't have time.
Okay.
Matt Skillern's got one. Jason Keith Phillips has one.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of the artists and stuff have them. Yeah, there's a nice list of folks that have stepped up, and they're just having fun with them. I've seen some behind-the-scenes stuff of what they're doing.
Right.
And I'm going to be broke.
Buying your own stuff, huh?
You're buying my own supply. That ain't right, right? That's something. So what we're doing with the money is 100% of this, 100% of the money, we're taking no proceeds or nothing like that. So if a figure sells for $100, that $100 is going directly to the charity that we work with, FAR. They help underprivileged families with kids with autism get the help that kid needs, be it therapy or things like that. So it's near and dear to our heart, my family's heart especially. My nephew has autism. You probably see him running around the show with me a little bit. He's a little mini me. He thinks his Uncle Billy's cool, and I'm not going to tell him any different. So,
well, he plays with toys, so heck yeah, he's cool.
Well, more than that, if I bring him home stuff, I'm like, hey, look, Hunter, it's a vinyl pop figure of Batman. He said, put it on the shelf. He didn't want to open them. He just puts them on the shelf like his Uncle Billy.
Nice.
Because he sees my office, and he's like, oh, I want my office to look like Uncle Billy's office. So,
nice.
Yeah. But, yeah, all the money's going to them. So last year we gave $1 of every paid admission. We took $1 out of the $5, and we gave it to charity. We gave it to them.
Right.
I think our goal is to make more money this year off the figure.
Nice. Yeah, I bet you will, too. I mean, especially having these artists do this. It's like a limited edition, one of a kind. I mean, come on. Who wouldn't want something like that? And, when I saw that you announced that, I'm like, that's a cool idea. I mean, just the fact that I'd like to see some of the people that were going to get involved. If I were anywhere artistically oriented, I would have probably tried to do one, but I'm nowhere near it, so I didn't even bother to say anything to you. Except, I want one.
It's going to be really interesting to see what everyone brings to the table. Because, like you said, it is a one-of-a-kind piece. I mean, it's just like commissioning an artist to draw something for you. I mean, they've got this 3D figure that's sculpted out of resin, and they're going to go to town on it and just do whatever they want with it. So, I mean, Reggie could come in. I know Chris Blair, one of our cosplay contest judge, he always goes as, like, Pinhead and stuff.
Right. Okay.
I don't even know what he's going to do to Reggie.
I don't want to see it.
It's what I'm thinking. I don't know. It's going to be real. It's a way for us as toy fans and as art fans, and we've talked in length before. I'm an art snob. It's a way to combine those two.
Yeah.
Because we're the DIY show. We don't have the budget. Look, I mean, some of these big shows in Indianapolis and the big shows in other states, their budget for, like, chairs is, like, five times how much it cost us to do ITC. I mean, seriously, it is. You've seen what we put on. We pack everything in there. We make it nice.
Yeah.
But these other shows, I mean, I know I've heard one show that came through Indianapolis. They're no longer with. They're no longer here. But I think they did a print run budget of posters and flyers, and they put over $100,000 out.
Oh my God!
Holy cow!
And they had like billboards, and they had like signs on buses, and all kinds of crazy stuff. And I'm like, $100,000. I could do ITC forever.
Yeah.
I could do it for free. I could give everyone free admission and do it forever.
Yeah, and see, now you realize why those cons charge like $40-$50 to get in. So
yeah, right? So, yeah, I couldn't imagine. And that's the other thing too. We're keeping it at $5.
Nice.
Until they put me in the ground, it's $5. It's going to stay $5. Kids 12 and under free. We're going to have like stuff downstairs for families to do, like Game Preserve is going to be like demoing board games and stuff.
Yeah.
GameStop's going to be back. They're going to be demoing new stuff, new games, giving away some free stuff. Michael Kaysinger is going to be in there doing his sketches for kids for free.
Yep.
He loves doing that, and we invited him in. Yeah, we just got a lot of cool stuff going on down there for families and trying to give everybody their money's worth.
Yeah, for $5, you definitely get your money's worth just walking in the door. I can tell you that much. Last year, we walked in the door. There's Ghostbusters and the Stormtroopers, and I'm like, okay.
They also have that milk guy.
Oh, you had the milk guy. Yeah.
Yes. We're not going to give anything away yet, but we're in talks with Coca-Cola, which has a certain juice that's back on the market.
It wouldn't be anything to do with a ghost, would it?
I don't know.
But
we're trying.
That'd be awesome.
We're trying hard for that.
Well, I tell you, that's another thing. Like I said, we walked in, we got us a glass of milk, chocolate milk, and from this dairy, and then we meet the Ghostbusters, we meet the Stormtroopers, talk to them, and have pictures taken with them. I'm like, right there, $5, money well spent. And then we go upstairs, and like, oh my God, toys!
And then all hell breaks loose when you get upstairs.
Exactly.
Yeah, it gets crazy. It gets real crazy. So
I spent, I don't know how many hours just walking around in circles in the toy section. It's like, oh, cool. Well, I got to go back here. I got to see. I think I missed something. Oh, I got to go back over here. And yeah, it was just, well, okay. We know how much fun we had. Tell us the dates and time on all this and location.
August 28th. 2016, what we got just a few days, just a couple of weeks away, really, where we are in Bloomington, Indiana at the Monroe County / Bloomington Convention Center. Doors open at 9:00, doors shut at 4:00. We take cash and card at the door. You know, you ain't got to worry about just, you know, bringing just cash. We're taking care of both, you know.
Okay. That's on a Sunday?
Yep, it's on a Sunday.
Nice. Because, it's good because I'm going to see Ace Frehley the night before up there in Indianapolis, so I just might have to spend the night there.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, we're staying with one day. We're tinkering around, maybe doing a two-day, but I don't know. I'm an old man.
How much work are you going to put in?
We just want to go slow. We want to make sure we do everything right and we grow it organically.
Right.
And we just don't. Just throw a bunch of junk out there and say, come and get it. We want the show to reflect the audience that it's getting. That's why we moved to Bloomington and got away from Indianapolis, because Indianapolis is very much the corporate, you know, stick up the butt show. I'm not making fun of them, but they are. And right. They know it, and that's fine. That's what they've got to do with that convention center. But us in Bloomington, we're more laid back. It's a very artistic town. It's very independent, free-thinking, do-it-yourself, you know.
Bohemian. You guys are the town that has the annual Krampus parade. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's awesome too. If you ever get a chance to come to Bloomington on that night, holy crap, it is awesome.
Well, see, that's it, Bloomington. I mean, it's college town too, right?
Oh yeah, okay. IU's there.
Okay. All right. See, the perfect. That's artistic community. So now that once again, where is it located again? In Bloomington, the Civic Center or
the Convention Center.
Convention Center. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yep.
Where's that about located? What's some streets here? Gives people a Google.
Bloomington Monroe Convention Center, 203 South College Avenue, Bloomington, Indiana. Yep. 9 to 4. $5.
Okay.
Free parking.
Okay.
It's in. And we still got stuff to announce. So you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Twitter. I hate Twitter. I don't use it, but you can still find us there. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. Right. We're doing the custom figure contest again. That is blowing up. That has just as many RSVP attendees as the cosplay contest.
Wow.
Makes me insanely happy.
Yeah. Well, I remember last year looking at some of those custom figures. They were just so creative. They were just so cool. I was like, wow. You know, first of all, see, I couldn't do that because I got my action figures. I don't mess with them. I don't want to mess them up. So, but I saw these other guys. I'm like, they didn't mess that up at all. That looked really cool. So there's
there was so many great entries, and yeah, we reach out to a lot of toy companies. We actually got some prizes from the Toy Pets donated gift certificates. They're our sponsor, but we also have some really cool pieces that Kid Robot sent us.
Oh wow!
They sent us almost $500 in vinyl figures.
Can't complain there.
No, and we're still working on some more companies behind the scenes, so we should have some more stuff to announce. But
Check out the Facebook page, Indiana Toy and Comic Expo, and trust me, I just love watching your updates. I mean, that's cool to see everybody coming as you post them. And so, all right, well, Billy, again, Indiana Toy and Comic Expo, the last Sunday of August. Be there, be square. Only $5, and it's you're not in a congested downtown. Free parking too. That's another thing. Free parking.
And that area down there in Bloomington is full of Pokestops.
Oh really? All right, I'm bringing my Pokemon Go. Isaac and I will be there. Since you brought it up, do you play Pokemon Go?
I'm a level 4, and I've never left my front porch, so no, not really.
Oh well, I might want to talk about that later. But anyway, all right. So there are Pokestops around. There's even more reason to go there. So, all right. Well, thanks, Billy, for doing that. Now I want you to stick around because we got some really cool nerdy stuff to talk about, and I know you're a nerdy guy. You're more than happy to do this. I'm sure, right?
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. Well, first of all, actually, Tim Mattson, let's start out since you've been kind of just enjoying the scenery right now. You and Isaac both, I'm sure, probably just sitting on your phones, but I don't know. That's what Isaac's doing. I don't know what you're doing, Tim.
I may or may not be doing that.
Well, I'm watching Isaac here just scroll. Let's...
I can neither confirm nor deny that I have an iPad in front of me at the moment.
Well, all right. Well, let's start out talking about this Suicide Squad deal. Okay, the movie's getting ready to come out this weekend. And first of all, Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 37% rating is what I last saw.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, what do you got to say about this movie?
I know what it felt like to launch the Titanic. Now, I kind of feel like, I don't know, I'm sure this is going to make way more money than it has any right to do, but I think ultimately it's probably going to end up with the same fate that Batman versus Superman did, that I think they'll still consider it a disappointment.
Now, you said something about a petition up. What was this about?
Yeah, I was just reading on IO9 that there's a petition, which means absolutely nothing. I mean, you can do a petition for anything. But apparently there's a petition. The fans are trying to ask that Rotten Tomatoes be shut down because they feel that it's fair.
Right.
Because DC fans are 99% salt water.
It's like any other aggregate site. It just takes an average of people's reviews, and so I think it's relatively accurate, if somewhat maybe a little unfair in some cases, but mostly accurate, I think.
Okay, here's the thing. You look at Rotten Tomatoes, and you see some of the really good movies, they usually get those right, and you look at some of the bad movies, they usually get those. I mean, look, they had Batman and Superman at like 35%. They were 100% right on that. It's like, there was about 35% of that movie that was watchable. No, I think that's too much. Never mind. But
what you run into problems with is that you have fans who feel that the critics just don't understand that this is not a movie the critics need to be criticizing, which is a bunch of baloney.
Right.
Fans just don't like the things that they like criticized.
Well, yeah, exactly. I always want to bring up is Batman v Superman. It was a freaking horrible movie. Fans even said after watching the movie, the sales dropped after the first week. I mean, come on, people. Just understand, these critics might know a little bit. since they saw the movie before us.
There's a whole plethora of articles. You should go on a lot of the Kotaku sites. Kotaku and IO9 are running articles about how this movie came to be. And apparently the way the production process ran is that the director had a very specific vision that he wanted to do, and he finished the movie the way he wanted to finish it, and then Batman v Superman happened, and Warner Brothers lost their minds and decided that we can't have this happen again. We need to fix this. We got to change this. Mm. And so they ordered an extensive amount of reshoots, costing them $10 million.
Oh, wow.
To reshoot. And then they cut an entire version of the film with a production house called Trailer Park. Okay. They're folks that do movie trailers.
Okay.
Then the director had his entire cut. They screened both of them for test audiences. Mm-hmm. And there was mixed reception to both. And so what they did is they ended up cobbling together a film out of both of those two versions.
Oh, wow.
So what you have is you have a grim, dark version, and then you have a version that they really wanted to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
And you smash them together, and that's what you're getting in the theater.
Oh, Guardians versus Superman. Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's the one thing. When the next series, you know, the first few trailers came out, it would look like a dark movie with a bunch of villains. Then the next, after Batman v Superman came out, they all of a sudden were colorful and happy and fun and great rock and roll music behind the trailer. And
Like, but here's the thing, though. I had this long conversation with my daughter over this, too. Yes, it was the marketing campaign had a lot of color, all that pink and blue coloring that they use in the marketing and stuff.
Yeah.
Neon abomination. It's horrible looking.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. I think that actually helped the movie because it actually made it look like it had color. But if you watch, if you only watch footage coming from the film itself, none of the marketing splash screens and stuff, there are no colors, really.
Right.
There's Harley Quinn with red and blue, and there's some purples and stuff like that, but they're all muted and dulled colors. They're not bright colors.
Right.
And so, really, the fact that this movie is going to make money is all down to the marketing department. The marketing department has done an amazing job of making this film seem watchable.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things is like, the neon, it's like, I think what, I don't know, I might be putting words in your mouth, but I think that basically the neon colors, all of a sudden, I think that was like, okay, here's what we're doing to make it look cool. And it's obvious that's what they're doing. I think that's the part of it.
It's to sell t-shirts, a Hot Topic.
Yeah, exactly. Honest. Exactly.
Oh, sure. And absolutely it is.
And
those 80s colors are hip again.
Yeah.
And they're gonna plaster the screen print them all over every neon color shirt they can because they want to sell the kids.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, the movie's not made for me. I know that. I can tell by looking at it.
Which is unfortunate because we're the ones that are the fan.
Well,
but we are, but we don't move the numbers that everyone thinks we do. we just don't. I mean, the biggest selling comic book is lucky to break 100,000 copies.
Right.
You know, are you going to get all 100,000? You know, let's see, Suicide Squad in its heyday was maybe a 25,000 to 35,000 a month book.
Yeah.
I mean, you throw in Harley Quinn, that's her numbers are a little higher, probably in the 70 range. Look, 70,000 people going to see in a movie ain't squat.
Right. Yeah, true. They need the numbers, so hey, make it look cool for the kids. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I can tell you, I'm still going to go see this movie because I'm curious as all get out because of the reshoots after the flop over the summer, and just say, okay, let's make it better and see if they actually made any of it any better. I will say that I think my favorite guy, and I can't remember the character's name, the one that's he's sneaking behind a car and he pops open a beer.
Cat the Boomerang.
I think it's really telling. Yeah, I think it's very telling that you have no idea who that is.
Yeah, you're right. I know, right? But the character portrayed in that trailer with him sneaking around like that, I'm like, Captain Boomerang, thank you. He just looks like he's going to be fun. And Harley Quinn, we've seen all over the place. Will Smith, yeah, that
the
guy.
Fresh Prince.
Yeah, the Fresh Prince is not fresh anymore.
Prince of Gotham.
And I don't see what he's doing in a superhero movie. The other guy
That's unfair. I think Will Smith is actually perfectly suited for a superhero film, but it has to be a decent film.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just can't see him as a superhero. But the thing is that gets me is also there's another guy that they hardly ever show in any of the trailers, and it was Whiplash. Is that his name?
Slipknot.
Slipknot. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Whiplash is
That's Marvel.
Yeah.
That's the good movie series.
Yeah.
So Slipknot, yeah, but he actually looks cool. I looked some information when I saw the first trailer. I'm like, "Okay, who are these guys?" And this is back when they redid the trailer. I was like, "Who are these people?" And I looked up Slipknot. And it's like, wow, he's got some pretty cool things going on that's not really super powered, just control of ropes and stuff. And I really think, I don't know if it was like that in the comics, but they've got like a Native American actor portraying him. I think it's really cool. And I think this might be an interesting twist. But those are the ones I look forward to, the ones they hardly show in the trailers. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I don't know.
I don't know, man. I got to say, the thing that's got me most excited about this is Viola Davis. I think she looks freaking amazing. I think she is a great choice for Amanda Waller. The little highlight reel that they put out of her performance is so badass.
Well, they have to have a badass person to be in control of these people. I don't know.
She's great.
If you saw it on, I think it was Arrow, they had somewhat of a Suicide Squad deal going. They started out with... And they would show hints of Harley Quinn in that, but the woman they had play Waller on that one was just, you could just tell, it's like, okay, if these guys screw up, she's got no qualms into blowing their heads up. So, you know,
yeah,
it's like, you're right. And that takes that for that role. So, yeah, we'll see. Amanda Waller better be good, if nothing else. But all right, well, let's not kill this until it comes out. Then we can kill it when it does come out, when we make fun of it. But
make it so it commits suicide.
So bad. Anyway, but let's move on to another DC movie, an animated movie. This is one none of us except for Billy has seen. It's The Killing Joke animation. It's got great voice talent. You've got Mark Hamill, who said he'd never come back as the Joker. And then you got Kevin Conroy, one of the best voices for Batman in animation. This has got to be one of the best animated movies ever, right, Billy?
No. No.
Lies.
No, all lies. I'll go on record and say Kevin Conroy is my Batman.
Yeah.
When I think Batman, I always think Kevin Conroy. From the animated series I grew up with to the Arkham video game series, he is Batman. I know other people say, I like Keaton, I like, you know.
Right.
Clooney or whatever. I'm like, no, Conroy. Conroy, hands down. The Killing Joke is a hot button comic.
Okay.
Of late, it's gotten gets a lot of people riled up. The subject matter is a hot button issue. There's a lot of things going on in the book that it doesn't fit today's politically correct climate.
Right. Okay.
But it's all in the movie. Okay. But they added some stuff to the movie that makes you question. What the hell is DC doing?
Yeah, I have to ask that, man. What, I don't know what went through their heads. Why? Who thought this was a great idea? I don't know.
To have, there's the Batgirl Batman was a couple dynamic. What? Yeah, that makes that goes against like everything that you would think. Batman's family is like his kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, he's making out with his daughter almost.
Yeah.
Well, and it's just kind of skeevy because he's her mentor.
Right. Right.
He's a teaching figure to her,
and he knows how close Dick and her are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's it feels like Batman cockblocked Nightwing. You know,
it really does.
It's very odd, and the animation feels rushed. It's just typically I love 80% of the direct to DVD DC movie cartoon.
Right? Yeah,
movies.
Yeah.
I think it's the one thing that they've been doing right in their business.
Absolutely. You have some duds. Superman Unbound. is pretty bad. Justice League War was pretty bad, in my opinion. But you have some really great ones, like that first Wonder Woman one they did was fantastic. New Frontier stands alone.
New Frontier is awesome.
Yeah, it's just Darwin Cook, his artwork come to life. It's, oh, it's beautiful, amazing. One of my personal favorites is Superman versus the Elite. Mm-hmm. Love that story.
I'm really looking forward to the new Justice League Dark one that's coming.
Yeah, that one looks cool. It does. You've got Edgerton and Constantine and everything. But the Killing Joke, it's like they missed it. There's something missing there. Like they added, I don't know. It's just not for me.
No.
And again, I just wish they would just quit going back and mining this story, and we should just leave it alone.
Now, the comic, The Killing Joke, came out in 88. So, I mean, look at the time difference between then and now. I mean, just that alone.
Absolutely.
And when it came out, it was huge, and people were like, oh, my God. You know, this was the one where it's like, okay, he's going to kill Joker this time around. Everybody knew that going into this. You know, but, you know, okay, we all know that story. Anyway, but that was the one big one back in 1988. Why did they do it?
This was like the follow-up to, like, Miller's Dark Knight Returns. This was another adult Batman story.
Yep, and so why do you think they decided to do this now?
Because it's a hot-button issue. The perceived rape of, and the exploitation of Batgirl. DC likes to push those buttons, and they just recently, was it a couple of years ago, had that situation with them doing the variant covers. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. They did that variant cover with Joker behind Batgirl, and he's like made a blood smile across her face.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That was referencing The Killing Joke, and I mean, it's implied that he did very bad things to her. He made her father look at nude pictures of her that he had taken after he shot her. I mean, it's a
dark story.
It's a very dark story. I mean, it's Alan Moore. I mean, yeah, it's dark, but it's just one of those stories to where they always want to come back and they always want to keep bringing it back because it is a hot button story. It upsets people. Either you're a fan or you're not a fan. And I'm just to the point now where I read it in 88 when I was a kid. I'm 38 now. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, now, wasn't that the first origin story of the Joker ever done?
Yeah, it definitely set a precedent of, okay, he's got ties to the Red Hood. And there's, I mean, it was definitely the modern origin story of Joker, or a version of the origin. So, but originally that story wasn't supposed to be canon.
Oh, really?
It was just it was just a standalone story. It was a one shot. DC was really big in that era of doing like the prestige, you know, square bound one shot, bigger than a, you know, staple monthly comic with the Elseworlds books and things.
Yeah.
This could have almost had an Elseworlds tag on it, but they didn't do it.
I think it probably would have been better in retrospect if they had.
I agree. Because then it wouldn't got brought into every 10 years or so, someone goes, hey, we're going to make this continuity. And then the next writing team comes in like, no, we're not. It's gone.
Well, and that's what the problem with the comics right now. With Rebirth, they don't know what to do with this story. They don't know whether to keep it as canon, throw it out, or what.
Blame it on Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, something. Yeah. I mean, because was Batgirl ever Oracle, or was she not? We don't know. The characters don't even know.
No, they're all walking around in a daze. It's very, I don't know. I just don't understand DC's mindset. It's like,
I don't either. I mean, geez, man, make a decision and commit to it, and then just move forward.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't understand what they're doing with their comic business at all. I don't get it.
They shouldn't have let Jim Lee run the kingdom. That's the problem. And I'll go back and say, I am no fan of that guy. They should have gave it to Jeff Johns and let him run it.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what they're doing now. So.
Yeah. They should bring in Grant Morrison and let him handle some of it. Be done with it.
Yeah.
But as I say here, and I'm complaining about DC, they bring in Gerard Way, and they give him his own imprint, and he's going to bring back Doom Patrol. so I can't bitch too much.
Yeah, but where does that fit in then?
Its own standalone, I guess. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know.
Well, that's the one thing that, I mean, we gripe about it in the cinematic universe for sure, DC versus Marvel. And, I mean, you know, there's people that are, okay, make mine Marvel, there's mine, DC's all I have, that, you know, that's, they're those people. I'm a fan of both, and I mean, except for Superman, I've never liked Superman, so, I don't know.
You get off this podcast right now.
I just think, you know, oh, why has he got those powers? He's an alien. Okay, fine, thanks. I need more explanation, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, still, I'm a fan of both. Now, comparing the movies, cinematic universe, you know, there's the constant gripe. DC doesn't know what they're doing movie-wise. Marvel?
They don't.
Marvel's getting it right, you know? And but now look at it, it's coming into the comics with the Rebirth. It's like, okay, DC, where are you going? And then this Killing Joke comes out, which touted as going to be one of the coolest things ever to happen to the DC universe, because, I mean, they're bringing back Mark Hamill, Kevin Conroy. I mean, that to me right there got me to say, oh, I want to see this. And then I start hearing the bad reviews and I'm like, oh.
I think it could have been one of the best things they've done. I really do. I honestly think that you could take that source material. I don't think any of us are saying that the source material is bad.
Right.
No. I think we can all agree that it just doesn't belong in continuity.
Right. Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine. I love Elseworlds stories. Yeah. I think they're great because you get a fresh take on a character that, you know, changes things up and gives you a new story that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise.
Yeah.
And I think if they had, I don't know, I think it's that first 25 minutes that really kills it. For me, at least, I'm not interested in seeing Batgirl used even more as a plot device than she already was. And, you know, respect the character more. I wish they had just more respect for that character and wrote her in a way that makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm there with you. I mean, we talked earlier, and yeah, when it comes to these movies, Marvel has taken their time. They've earned the respect of the fans.
Right.
They planted the seeds. Everything matters in the Marvel movies. Every Easter egg, every glimpse, every slow-mo shot of Odin's treasure room matters. DC doesn't. It seems like they're like, hey, we're just going to throw this out there and hope it sticks. And it shows. It shows who cares about the source material.
Yeah. I think that's it in a nutshell right there.
Are you selling us a movie, or are you hoping to sell us lunch boxes and toothbrushes after we leave?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, we buy the movie, hey, we'll buy those toothbrushes too. So,
you get us twice. Yeah, four or five times in my case, because I buy all the toys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Well, I was hoping to hear that it's like the most awesome thing in the world. But again, being the nerd that I am, I'm going to still watch this. I'm not sure. I'll probably get it. I don't know if I'm going to rent it first or if I'll actually buy it, for whichever. But either way, I'm going to watch the movie just to see, you know, watch it for some of the fun parts of it. There's got to be something fun in it, right?
There's some good stuff in it. I mean, the general story is still there. It's the stuff they tacked on that made it, like, unbearable. It's that first 25 minutes, Tim was right. It just nails you. It puts a bad taste in your mouth, and it just feels like you just want to leave. You feel dirty.
I can't wait for a fan edit to come out then. Get a fan edit out there, and we'll have it right. So
it's just, as with so many things with DC, you just want to sit them down and ask them, do you know who these characters are?
Yeah.
You own these, right? You own these. These are bankable IPs.
Yeah.
I could make money with them. You want to give them to me?
There are people, there are third world tribes out there that know who Superman is. That's not like you have to work hard. We already love your characters. Tell us a decent story with them. That's all we ask.
The Superman shield is one of the most recognized icons on the planet, next to the cross and the golden arches.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, that Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman, they're iconic characters that should be, I mean, it should be so easy to make a film based on these properties, because all you have to do is not suck. You don't even have to, you don't have to excel. Just don't suck.
Exactly.
Well, that's all I want.
It comes back to what we talked about earlier, though. These guys, like Zack Snyder, doesn't understand. He's not a fan. He didn't grow up reading these stories. He's he's a Johnny come lately that doesn't care. He's going to make something big and explosive, and he gets his jollies and he takes his paycheck and he goes home. Well, he's not there to care.
Yeah.
Well,
let's move on to something else here real quick. You just brought up something that really sparks this in me. The new Justice League trailer. Okay.
Yep.
That came out. That actually is looking fun. I mean, it's, compared to the rest. Okay, I'm not saying it's looking Guardians of the Galaxy fun. I'm just saying it looks like it is going to be a fun movie compared to BVS. But one of the scenes in there, there's a scene where Aquaman is like, I think he's walking off a pier or something like that, and then the big, huge splashes of water coming in at Aquaman. It's a beautiful scene. That is 100% Zack Snyder. That's what he does best in his movies, is that scene like that right there. But knowing that,
if you mean shoot stuff in slow motion,
well, I'm sure it is.
Yeah,
because,
right.
You know, but you know that scene is like, oh, that's cool. Look at Aquaman, and then you're like, wait, that's Zack Snyder. Crap, what are they gonna do? But
there's we're gonna have to disagree on that. I think that trailer just reinforces how nothing has changed.
Really?
There's no color. I mean, look at Iron Man. Jesus, Aquaman. Look at Aquaman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's almost literally black and white.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll grant that on
no colored. I thought the promotional image of him was just their, like, conception of the character in this, like, tone. Mm-hmm. But no, that's the way he looks in the film.
Yeah.
He is literally black and white. Well, all of the colors are just leached out of the film. There's no color to that trailer whatsoever.
I think the most
there is all muted and dulled.
They're still making movies like Marvel did when they made, or Fox did when they made the first X-Men movie.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they put everybody in the same leather.
Yes.
And that's it. That's all you're getting.
Yeah.
Well, it's like,
scared,
in those
X-Men. Scared to put colors on some screen for some reason. We've seen this already with Avengers. It works.
Yeah, exactly. Well, see, like in that X-Men movie, they had that funny, you know, everybody has those black leathers, and they give Wolverine his, and what, would you rather have yellow spandex? I think every freaking X-Men fan in the audience was going, yeah, we would.
Yeah, right.
Now I'll grant you that. They're missing out on the color, but there's one line in that trailer that pretty much said, okay, looks like they're veering in the right direction. Like I said, this is nowhere near Guardians good, but he says one line where Bruce Wayne is looking for Aquaman or Arthur. Anyway, he says there's a man that comes when the village is poor, and he brings them fish, and he takes care of the village. It's like, holy crap, they finally realize what a superhero does, you know?
Right.
And all these films, it's like, there, one point, they finally realize superheroes are there to help out the people. And it's like, that one line, I'm like, okay, let's go from there and see what happens. And then I will say the Flash scene was pretty cool. The sad part is that was the most colorful part in the whole thing, and that wasn't that much. but it was, that one line got me. And it's like, okay, you got
the thing
my
with
attention.
The Flash, though, with the Flash, I mean, Marvel's already beaten them well to the punch with Quicksilver.
Yeah.
There's nothing about that section with Flash that was interesting. We've seen way better stuff with a speedster before. That was just functional. The stuff they showed was functional, not interesting.
Yeah.
The stuff, pretty much everything pulled off with Quicksilver in the Marvel films has been awesome.
Yeah. And both Fox and the Marvel movies.
Yes.
Quicksilver.
To be fair, yes, that was Fox, not Marvel, really.
But even the Marvel version is all right compared to that Flash. But I guess what I'm saying is the dialogue in this one is what got me.
It feels lighter.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I got that too. There's a little bit of sense of not doom and gloom.
Right.
And, you know, and now with no Superman in the beginning of the movie, maybe
we're not going to
get, we're not going to get the Christ allegory shoved down our throat every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, like, oh, there he is, Jesus Christ pose again. Yeah. Wow. Imagine that.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I'm hoping they don't even bother to bring him back in this one. But save him for later whenever they get a new actor.
If he comes back, I want him in black and I want him with a mullet.
Yes, yes. Just exactly like the books. There we go. So,
isn't that depressing? This is Superman we're talking about. And we're actively rooting for him not to be in a film?
Yeah, I know, right?
What kind of crazy f***ed up world are we living in?
Exactly. Oh, and well, you know what? All right, remember the Superman Red, Superman Blue?
Yeah.
Do that. Oh, that would be cool, too.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
Wow. We're reaching here.
Woo! That was a different one, and I actually read those, and I'm like, this is actually fun. And then I realized, wait, that's not Superman. Anyway, but anyway, all right, well, see, that's the thing. With this trailer, I think the dialogue got me. Yeah, the cinematography is still the same crap. Still the same, like you said, no
still
color.
Same old Zack Snyder.
Yeah, but the dialogue in this thing just totally, to me, and maybe, and again, this is just a trailer, too. Maybe they put only the best dialogue in that trailer. I mean, I've seen that happen for lots of movies.
Yeah.
That brought my hopes up a little bit more for that. And
I mean, it's not the only trailer we got, too. I mean, we got to take a look at the new Wonder Woman trailer as well.
I was just getting ready to bring that up. What do you think of that?
I'm modestly excited. I mean, it sucks because I really would like to be excited about that film because it does. That is the one trailer out of all of these things that I actually got excited about because we have an iconic character being handled by a female director, and yet we still have the shadow of Zack Snyder hanging over this film. It's still muted colors and dark and gritty.
Slow motion.
Slow motion action shots. I mean, it's just...
But the lasso glowed.
Yeah, well, yeah. That was the only overtly comic book thing in the whole process. It's like they're ashamed that they're making comic book movies. Yeah,
and they are.
And they had the invisible plane.
I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't see that?
Yeah. It was in every shot.
It's pretty good.
But no, well, yeah, and, you know, like you said, this is one movie that, like, okay, here's your chance. You're going to tell an origin story of a hero without ruining it. You got your chance after ruining the others.
The thing is, they've earned no trust whatsoever.
I know, right?
I don't trust them to not screw this up. I'm afraid that it's just going to be another grim, dull, depressing slog.
Let's hope not. There's still time. So, all right, well, we've run them into the ground. Let's talk about some TV stuff real quick here. I got to bring this up. I just, Tim, I know you're getting ready to watch it because you've heard enough people talk about it.
Oh, I've been promising to do this for some time, and I have not gotten to it.
I think that enough people have nagged you.
Yeah, I'm feeling it.
But
I
can't believe you're not watching it. But Stranger Things. On Netflix, you can watch it now. Is it 8 episodes? I believe it's 8 episodes.
8 episodes.
Yeah, and oh my god, yeah, eight 1 hour episodes, and wow, it's one of those. It's hard not to binge watch it. I got to the point where I'm tired. I gotta go to bed, you know. And it was so good. The premise is just, to me, it was a great big thank you to 80s horror sci-fi films. And at the same time, being modern enough to where it's like, okay, there's a story there that's awesome. I mean, every little thing, there were, like, of course, the kids' posters were all 80s horror movies of some sort. Even the font for the title looked like a Stephen King novel cover, like how they write his name on the covers of every book. That's how that looked to me. Man, everything about this just kind of screamed 80s horror, but at the same time, a modern story that could have fit in any time. I mean, there were even nods to Stephen King's Firestarter in there. I just now realized that when I mentioned Stephen King. But yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of really good stuff about this. Now, Billy, you saw the series.
I have.
What? Give me your take on this. What? How much did you enjoy it?
I honestly think, me personally, I think it's the best thing that Netflix has put out, original content.
Wow.
And that includes Daredevil and Jessica Jones and all that. It is that good. The hype is real on this.
Yeah.
They nailed Indiana perfectly. It's everything about it is one big love letter to the 80s, to Spielberg's Amblin films, you know, Close Encounters, E.T. There's Goonies in there.
There's even Stand By Me in there, but that's beside the point.
You can throw Stand By Me in there, Firestarter, just all the really good movies from the 80s that I grew up watching as a kid, they're there, and they didn't rip them off.
No.
It's not cliche. Just when you think they're going to do the typical cliche, like, oh, the nerd girl's going to end up with the jock guy or the outsider guy. No one's the clear hero other than, like, Hop,
Oh, yeah.
And then having Matthew Modine as basically the other villain.
Right.
And then Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
I grew up in the 80s. She was the girl.
Yeah.
I mean, until Alyssa Milano came along and stole my heart. But yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect. It's the guys that made it, the Duffer Brothers, are they understand how to hit that that nostalgia button.
Yeah. And the thing they did, it they didn't do it like you said, it wasn't like a cameo. It wasn't like it wasn't obvious. It's like after watching it is when I realized, oh wait, that's cool. They kind of did that. And it's mm-hmm. while watching it, you're stuck in the story. You're not, they don't pull you out of it by showing, oh hey, look, remember Evil Dead, whatever. It's you're flowing with it. And then afterwards, when you start thinking about it, you're like, oh wow, that's cool. They did that. So yeah. Like you said, it's a nod.
It's a nod. It's not a cliche. It's not beating you over the head with it. It's like, look, these kids play Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
Isn't that clever?
Right.
It's not Big Bang Theory level beat you in the head
right.
for the stuff. But it's good. It's very good. I mean, when you're done with those 8 episodes, you actually feel sad.
Yes.
Because you're like, okay, there's more to this.
Yes.
There's clearly more than this. Because they give you so much at the end to bait you for season 2 or series 2 or whatever
right.
they're going to do. And you're like, when it's done, you're like, where's L? Where's where's this with the kid? What did he just spit in the sink? Son of a, what's going
right,
on?
Right.
And you're freaking out. Like, why is Hop? Why did he get in the car? They didn't tell me why he got in the car. And you're freaking out. And you know there's more there. And...
Yeah, it's
so good. It's an 8-hour movie.
Yeah, it definitely is. And the thing is, it's cool that you can break it down in episodes because, like I said, there were points when I was tired. But here's the thing, it took me a while to watch it. It was released. I saw this was released. I kind of saw a little bit about it, saying, "Oh, that looks kind of cool." But I started seeing people on Facebook commenting about how awesome this is, and it's like, what? Mm-hmm. And then I saw a few Twitter feeds saying, Stranger Things has rocked my world. Things like that, I'm like, oh my gosh, whatever. And then I said, all right, fine, I'm going to watch it. I watched the first episode. I didn't stop till like the fourth, and I'm like, okay, that was the first night. And I'm like, okay, I'm tired. I'm going to finish this, but it's going to have to wait. Yeah, I mean, it just had me hooked. I could not stop watching it. Like you said, the little hints about everything, those are nice, but they don't take away from the story at all. They don't.
No.
They don't. All right, Tim Matson will agree with me on this, or actually he's the one that promotes this, but the Stan Lee cameos in Marvel films
mm-hmm.
take you out of the movie, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, this one, all the little things that happen in this, they don't take you out of, like I said, you don't realize it until after you're done because you're stuck watching this story and like, oh my God, what's happening next? How does she do that? Or, why is her head shaved? Or whatever. I mean, you got so much else going on that these little things you don't catch them until afterwards. In fact, I had to look up a website to find out all the Easter eggs that they had on there, and there were more than I even caught. So it's just a really cool series, a horror, sci-fi. Again, I think the closest you can relate it to and to one single movie would be along the Firestarter type of a movie, if you were going to narrow it down to just one type of movie. But it had so many other elements to it. So, yeah, I don't know. Again, I'm a huge fan of the Daredevil Jessica Jones, so I'm going to have to rank all three of those as number one for me. I can't say it's better than those for me. Yeah, I mean, really, get out and watch it. Check it out, Netflix. All right.
Definitely will.
Yeah. We're not forcing you, Tim, but you will thank us.
Well, you'll definitely will.
You'll thank anybody that ever said a good thing about it. So, all right, now let's talk about another series. And again, Tim, oh, come on.
Far behind, guys. Things are happening.
You act like you have a life or something. I don't understand this TV thing is supposed to be in control. Preacher, they ended their season. And mm-hmm. for the longest time I'm watching this, I'm talking to people. I never read the comic. Billy, we've talked about this on the podcast before. So this is new to you, but some of the people listening, they'll say, oh, you already said that. But I never read the comic. And so I was going to read the comic. And then the series came out. I'm like, okay, I'll wait till the series. And now I'm kind of glad I did, because now I realize this series was the precursor to the comics.
It basically, the last episode, in a way, kind of dovetails right into where the comic was.
That's what I gathered.
Yeah, it's I read the comic. I was junior in high school in '95 when the comic came out. I was reading like Sandman and a bunch of that type of stuff. So when this hit, it's a Vertigo book. So I'm like, I've got to see this. Look, there's a church on fire with a preacher on the front cover. This is right at my little, you know, angry 17-year-old alley. So I read all 66 issues. I read the Santa Killers miniseries and then all the one-shots for the characters that they sprinkled out through the run of the book. I'm a huge fan of that series. I love it.
Okay.
It's not my favorite of the Ennis 90s comics, but it's definitely number two. I love the series. I loved how they got away from the comic. I don't want a page of, you know, just a by the numbers representation of the comic book on screen. I've read the comic. Give me something different. Change the characters, or, you know, do something a little different. Keep me excited. And this right here, I was on edge of my seat every episode.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, I fell in love, like I said, not reading the comics, but knowing at the time when they came out, I knew I wanted to. I just know that was that time for me was, I was in college. I was way busier. Other things were on my mind. But anyway,
yeah.
I never got to read them. But after watching this, I'm like, I didn't feel like I needed to. I mean, it was a perfect introduction to their characters. The thing that got me most was Cassidy. I fell in love with him. He was just awesome. And the actor portraying him just brought that character to life for me 100%. I couldn't see the character any other way. And so now when I read the comic, I'm sure I'm going to think of his voice and everything in that. The story behind this. And the thing about it, look at it this way. They got two Marvel actors in this. You know, he played Howard Stark. Dominic Cooper and Ruth Negga.
Yep.
Yeah, she was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, the two Marvel actors in this is like, hey, wait, this is a DC thing. Sorta. Why shouldn't it be bad?
Yeah.
I'm thinking the Marvel actors made it good. Oh, wait, no, it might have been the showrunners and everything. I couldn't believe Seth Rogen.
Well, he's a fan of the source material.
Yeah.
That's why it's good. They get it. They, you know.
Yeah.
It's why Deadpool is good. Yeah. Ryan Reynolds is a fan of the source material, you know.
Yeah.
When you love something that much, you don't want to mess it up.
Yeah.
You're a fan, you know, and you want the fans to be fans. You want them to love it as well. Yeah, they nailed it. They did a really good job. They did way better than they should have.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but it was worth it for us as the audience. I can't wait for season two now.
Oh,
it's just going to be awesome. It's going to be one thrill ride from this point forward. Yeah, I mean, the exploding town at the end. Spoiler, sorry. But, oh my gosh, that was just phenomenal. It was just the way they did that. I'm like, holy crap.
It just made sense.
Yeah.
To get rid of the town. And it just sets up precedent that there's going to be destruction behind these three. No matter where they go, what they do, they're going to leave trails of bodies and burning towns.
Oh, and the whole thing with talking to God. Oh, my gosh. I'm not going to go any further because, Tim, you got to watch this. But, oh, my gosh. Talking to God.
But he's like, you're not God.
Yeah.
You picked your nose.
Yeah. I had to rewind that for Isaac because, look, watch it. This is funny. But anyway, I mean, without any further input here, we can all just say this is a really great series. And, again, Tim, forget that life stuff.
I'm on it.
What do you mean career? What do you mean family? Force them to watch it.
AMC's doing really good.
Yes.
I mean, they've done very, very well. I mean, and the showrunners, I mean, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Here's the thing about it. AMC started out, I think their big, huge breakout was, you know, Breaking Bad, if you pardon the pun. But they whenever that came out, it was like, holy cow, there's a whole different storytelling going on television. And that paved the way for Walking Dead, Preacher, Better Call Saul, which really paved the way for that. AMC is really getting it right.
Have you picked up the Breaking Bad references in Preacher?
No.
Remember where the two guys are getting on the bus?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought that looked, it's like when Jesse
That's what I
thought. When I saw that, I'm like, wait, I've seen that scene before.
They did that on purpose.
I can believe it. Yeah, there's so many little things in that show that, in fact, they ran I had it set on my DVR to record it. And normally when I set something on DVR, I just set it to record only new episodes. Well, I accidentally left it on new and reruns, and they did like a marathon before they showed the final episode, and I got all the episodes recorded, so I might have to go back and rewatch those. Just watch it again, just because I can. Well, again, there's another good one out there for you, so you can't miss it. I'm sure they're going to show it over and over again, or at least another time, another marathon before they start the next season.
You got to warn everybody, the subject matter.
Oh, yeah.
It gets pretty gnarly. It's
Yeah,
well, what do you expect? I mean, a murderer become preacher.
Is he a murderer?
Well, he has the potential to be one. I mean, Tulip is one. I mean, come on.
Oh, she's so awesome. That was the only bit of casting that had me worried. I'd seen her on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever, and I'm like, okay, she's an okay actress.
Yeah.
Like, but am I going to keep seeing her from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? And as soon as that accent kicked in, and that first episode with those kids, and she makes the bazooka, I'm ready to go. Okay, yeah. She's got me.
And she's talking to the kids the whole time, you know? Yeah.
We're going to build a bazooka. Yeah. And you're like, what is this? She's insane. That turned me right there. I was kind of, you know, I was sitting there in my chair all grumpy, like, I don't like her.
Really?
Yeah, now she's like my favorite character on the show. So.
Yeah. Well, actually, Tim thought she was wasted in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right, Tim?
I do think she was really good. I did like her on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., a show that I think is largely mediocre.
Right.
Yeah, very much so. I'm with you on that.
Speaking of that show, how do you guys feel about Ghost Rider being on it next season?
I saw that.
That might be the reason I don't watch it.
What? Really?
I hate that character.
I've always liked Ghost Rider.
I don't think there's any way they're going to make that viable. I can't imagine them doing that character.
Well, you know what?
On their budget.
Right, that's what I'm getting ready to say. Yeah, their budget. I mean, you watch their show, you look, and you say, okay, they need more budget. You know, just watching a normal episode, it's like, oh, crap, they need more.
That's a show that they don't put much money into that.
No. And when I heard Ghost Rider, I'm like, wait a minute. That's going to require a lot.
The show, I guess he's not Motorcycle Ghost Rider. He's this new Ghost Rider that drives a car.
Okay.
So...
okay. Ghost Knight Rider.
Yeah, well, nice. Yeah, kinda.
Well, they might have lost me on that one then, because
I guarantee you they spend most of the time with the character in his human form.
Trying to contain him or something. Yeah.
It'll be very rare that you see him as the actual Ghost Rider. You'll see him as a human most of the time.
Yeah, so, I'm sure. Yeah, like 90% of the time.
Yeah. Easily, yeah. I would say maybe 10% of his appearance is going to be in character.
Well, we'll see what happens. They're trying to do something to bump it up, because after this last season, they lost me about halfway through this last season. And I know they lost you long ago before that, Tim.
I didn't make it through the second season.
Yeah, but this last one is like, I'm just bored. I still have it on my DVR, and I haven't watched it yet.
I don't know, man.
I think it's all on Netflix already now, so.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Nobody remembered to give them the memo that no one gives a crap about the Inhumans.
Exactly.
Nobody cares about the Inhumans.
I mean, okay, I care about the Inhumans. Give me Black Bolt and Medusa.
There you go,
The Royal Family. And those guys. Give me the Royal Family. I don't care about their Terrigen Mist. We've got to eliminate the X-Men because Fox owns it now. Crap that they keep trying to shove down my throat.
Right. See, that's why I like the Royal Family. Give me Black Bolt. Give me Lockjaw. I love Lockjaw.
Yeah.
know, Medusa. Okay. Her hair is cool. Gorgon? Is that the guy with the horse hoof thing?
Gorgon. Yep. Yep.
I mean, those are kind of cool. But once they started branching out from that, and actually in the comics, they started doing, I'm like, wait, you're going too far. It's like Spider-Man had a whole bunch of kids. Don't do that either, okay? Don't do clones either, So, I don't know. But, I think that's right, that the people just don't care about the Inhumans as a replacement for X-Men at all, 100%. No.
That's what they're trying to do, and they've been doing it for, like, the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. Let's close out the podcast. We've talked for a long time. But before we do, the next episode after this one is going to be our 100th episode. That's freaking.
It's our centennial.
Yeah, exactly. We're centenarians now.
You're just calling yourselves old.
But anyway, for the big one, first of all, Billy, you want to join us for our 100th episode?
I'll come back.
All right.
You talked me into it.
We'll see.
I'll be back.
Well, then, okay, I'll work around the schedule here. But basically, on the 100th episode, I'm going to try to get everybody here, even that mysterious actor Eric Billingsley, who's always got productions to do. I don't know why he, again, you guys with your life thing going on. It bothers
me. Why has he got to be so talented?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so what we're going to do is we'll get everybody back here, including Billy, and even maybe some surprise guests, some people that helped me actually found the podcast way back on episode one. And then we're going to make it a call-in episode. So what's going to happen, folks out there in the podcast world, listen up, because what's going to happen is on Twitter, at NerdUpPodcast, or... on Facebook, the Nerd Up Podcast on Facebook, we're going to post a link so that you can call in and be on our podcast. And we're going to post the link on, again, Twitter, at Nerd Up Podcast, or on the Facebook page, the Nerd Up Podcast. And we'll post the link there, and all you have to do is click on the link. It'll just click you into Skype. You can join in, and we'll talk to you live on the air, or, well, it'll be live during the recording, you know, like they used to do the... those old sitcoms back in the 70s were recorded live before a studio audience. So I was like, wait a minute, it's recorded still. So yeah, it's still going to be recorded, but we'll get you live on the air. So make sure you follow us on Twitter and at least like our Facebook page or go there and keep up to date so that you can see when we post that link when you can call in. And we'll get you on here live, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about and how great we are. Oh, wait, we do that
all
the
time. We'd love to talk about that.
I know, right? And maybe then, it depends on all organization, but that might even be closer to your launching of your ITCE, so you might be a little busy, Billy, but we're going to get you in here anyway.
I got nothing going on.
Okay, good.
We got plenty of time.
Good. Good to hear. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be a fun thing. Like I said, live. So, again, follow us on Twitter, at NerdUpPodcast, or like us on Facebook, The Nerd Up Podcast, and we'll get going, and we'll talk about everything we've ever talked about, and maybe even a few surprise guests, and who knows what else we can come up with. Isaac, you got any ideas for the 100th episode?
I just know that I forgot. I know that I forgot.
Oh, yeah, you're a lot of help. See, I raised him well. Tim, you got any other ideas for the 100th episode?
I'm going to do it with clothes on.
Okay, all right, Billy, you do a podcast on your own.
I do.
What, you got any recommendations for us to do on our 100th episodes besides have you?
Oh, 100. I don't know how to think about that.
I remember what I was going to say now.
Okay.
We should have it extra long, like 2 hours.
8 hours. 8 hour podcast.
24 hours.
Whoa.
Hang on, man.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I don't have a job. I can do that.
Oh, yeah, but you'll be starting school.
So?
I don't know. We'll come up with some ideas. We'll roll them around. We'll come up with something. But anyway, make sure you do that. Twitter, Facebook. And so in the meantime, that's going to bring an end to this episode, the 99th episode of... The Nerd Up Podcast. Man, it almost makes me cry. But anyway.
To be continued.
We need the Yes music playing in the background. Okay, well, that ends the podcast. Once again, you can reach me on Twitter, at Gil Wilson. But don't forget, you can also reach the Nerd Up Podcast, at Nerd Up Podcast.
You can reach me at Tim Gone Mad.
You can reach me on YouTube, youtube.com/user/PikachuLover88. But the channel name is EbilBacon88.
Evil Bacon. Mm-hmm.
I guess you could also reach me at Twitter with that handle, too.
Okay. And Billy, how can people get a hold of you, especially about the Indiana Toy and Comic Expo?
Indiana Toy and Comic Expo.com. Look for us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Yeah, we're everywhere.
All right. Because we definitely want to get people there, because I'm going to be there, and with I'll be walking around recording people, talking to them, and telling them and finding out how great the event is again. I gotta admit, last time around, I met some really cool artists, and I have been friends with them since. It's like, in fact, Matt Skillern, I've commissioned some art from him. Jason Keith Phillips, I got a painting from him, and I mean, I met some great artists while there. So it's like it sticks with you. So people go to there, Indiana Toy and Comic Expo, August 28th, Bloomington, Indiana. In the meantime, that's it. As we say every single week, stay nerdy.
Nerdy.